What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Clocks Running, the podcast for everything flag football officials. I'm your host, Ant, and we got an exciting show tonight. We're talking all about Nationals, but before we get started, I just need everybody to tuck your jerseys in. I need the flags to not be inverted. Point them out, okay? And let's make sure those belts are tightened up, all right? Let's get going here, all right? So... if you know, you know. All right. So let me bring the guests on tonight. First and foremost, we got the Grand Cayman himself. Dean, what up, Dean? Sir.
What's up? What's up?
How you feeling tonight, buddy?
I am still recovering from Nashville. My feet are still sore. But we're getting there. We're getting there. It's a long road to recovery, but we're getting there.
All right, I gotta ask what everyone's wondering. Did you run into the Hulk to a girl?
Did I what?
Did you run into the Hulk to a girl?
I did not find her, but there were a lot of lovely ladies in Nashville, but I did not find the Hulk to a girl, unfortunately. Right. The All search right, cool. The search continues.
All right, so there's Dean. I just want to let you know that there's only one way that I can introduce Declan, man, and that's simply, what's up, brother?
Oh, this guy.
Hey, what's up, brother? What's up, brother?
We're gonna keep it like this because I know I'm on air right now, so I'm just gonna stand. I'm just gonna sit here.
I mean, tell me how you feel.
I feel in a lot of ways, especially after Nashville. A lot of ways.
Hey, Declan, don't eject me from the podcast, please.
Oh, just wait. That's gonna come up. Just wait. That will come up soon. Just wait. I already have a mom with the baby stroller spiel and everything. I'm already ready.
I just appreciate the fact that without even trying, we're all matching. I love it.
Yeah, we're matching. There you go, USA National Championships.
There we go.
I should have worn my medal too.
All right, and here we go. Let me bring White Hat Pat into the building.
What up,
Pat?
White Hat Pat, what's up?
Hey, what up, boo? Hey, as you would say, hey, brother.
Hey, brother. Hey, brother.
Oh, man. All right. So, light up that cigar, man. Sit back, kick your feet up, because this one's going to be a good one. Jacob's going to join us at some point. He'll do his usual boring rule review for players that aren't going to listen because they don't read the rules anyway. But, hey, we want to provide the opportunity, right, for players to understand the rules, to have another way besides reading the rule book, even if they don't listen. But... maybe one day we can all wishful thinking, right? So, Nashville was amazing. That was my first time in Tennessee. I can't say it correctly, probably Murfreesboro. There we go.
Like Eddie Murphy is Murfreesboro.
Oh, there we go, Murfreesboro. So, apparently, I found out some history. One of the most important Civil War battles was right there where we were at, and we experienced a lot of rain, right? Some delays, some lightning delays. We had games. Declan, we had games until 1 a.m, right? Saturday night and Sunday night.
Don't remind me of that. Please don't. I'm still recovering.
So let's get it started. Let's go right into it. Just reviewing it. The four of us kind of. We covered the whole gamut of formats, divisions, men's, women's, youth. So this is exciting to be able to talk about all the different formats and divisions that from our perspective as officials, we were able to witness. So Declan, I want to hand it off to you. Let's get it started with 7U. Go ahead, Declan.
Okay, so I'm going to start off with this. These are 7-year-olds, okay? They're 7. So, walking in, I didn't expect a whole lot of action. Like, I'm going to be 100% honest. I did not expect a whole lot of action. I expected in and out, bam, bam, shablam, done. Well, I lied. So, when I first started the tournament on Saturday, when I first started after doing adults on Friday, I started on Saturday, they introduced a new division called 7U Air It Out. Well, the coaches were the quarterback. And so when you're on offense, you had a coach as the quarterback, and you had four eligible receivers. And then when you had defense, you had five defenders. Well, air it out. Seven, you air it out, was the most interesting, best division I've ever officiated in my life. We were up and down like that. I mean, it was first game. Once we hit halftime, game was done. Team already got beat 28-0. We were good. Second game, 28-0. Coaches were phenomenal on Saturday, at least. I mean, no complaints. Everybody was having fun. I had no problems. I just got to sit back, relax, because there's no rush. I just sit back, relax, cross my arms, and let them throw the ball around. Saw a couple kids get hit in the face. But, you know, that was about it of the enjoyment that I had seeing air it out. And then on Sunday, then we had, you know, the regular 7U format. So there's no rush. They still have a 7-second sack count like all the other youth divisions. The only problem was that was a lot more competitive than what I'm used to, even with the older kids. So we had packed sidelines behind the goal line and on the sideline. So first game I had on Saturday was the semifinals. Forfeit. Win. First game was a forfeit. Team didn't show up. We were good. I was just going to roll right through, no problems. Second game came around. We had a whole bunch of problems. Let's just say that I am the most hated 7U referee in USA flag and probably the nation at this point. I am the most hated by mothers with baby strollers in their community that they have going on. I am most hated by dads and coaches. Yeah, that's those who I'm most hated by so far.
Yeah, why you hated by them? That. Yeah, come on, man.
Why are you hated by them, bro?
So I'm hated by them because when you do 7U, you don't expect parents to tell kids to, like, you know, tackle each other and stuff like that.
Oh, bullshit. But
unfortunately, I at least went in with the expectation of hopefully not having to deal with that. Well, unfortunately, there was a parent who thought it would be a bright idea to tell the kids to hit each other. I got her kicked out. So I was talking to the referee room. You know, I'm kicking out moms with baby strollers. And a nicer way of what I said in the referee room is maybe the mom should learn to be nice. I'll just say that. And the baby and her might not be, wouldn't have been ejected. So that's why I'm hated by them, because she felt that I was not doing my job. I was not flagging 7-year-olds for what reason, I have no clue. She thought that her poor baby was getting tackled, which nobody got tackled, no matter that. I'm hated by the dad community because he started stuff with the mom with the stroller, and he just kept going and going and going and going and going. So I got rid of him. I'm hated by the coaches because I don't let them cuss in front of 7-year-olds, because apparently the 7-year-olds should be learning the F-bomb. So...
I mean, I have one really big problem here, Declan, and that's the fact that that baby did nothing wrong to you to deserve an ejection. So how do you correct that moving forward?
Now that you think of that, you're 100% right. So next time, what I will do as an official, after I wrote my incident report with the ejection with the mom with the baby stroller, I went back and reflected and realized that next time I will just eject the mom and I'll let the baby stroller sit on the sideline. By itself, okay. Unattended, you know, it'll just sit there. If the baby wants to watch the
no.
game, can. If
the baby Declan. The game, if the Declan, baby wants to watch the hey, game, can. The baby is guilty by association by being with the baby. They all gotta go.
Hey, now, if the baby starts causing ruckus and the baby starts getting up out the stroller, you know, maybe throwing middle fingers, you know, I might just eject the baby. But
hey, okay. the baby is an accessory to the car. Deserves to be ejected.
So after further consideration, after further review, we do believe next time we'll keep the baby. We'll just get rid of the
nope.
And we'll just nope. Let the stroller sit there.
Accessory is still a felony.
Everybody.
I feel like this is an Instagram poll that has to get created. Should the baby get thrown out with the mother?
That's bad parenting if you leave the baby. So the baby got to go too.
Okay, so Declan, just to be clear on this, as far as the new format 7U aired out, so the there's no rushing on defense. They don't rush the adult quarterback.
No. So after the quarterback gets rid of the ball, they must stand there and they must stay where they're standing. They cannot move out of the way. They literally must be in a standstill motion. Same with the regular 7U. Except with that, you're allowed to have an offensive coach in the offensive backfield. After the ball is snapped, he needs to retreat 7 yards back. And if the coach coaches in the regular 7U division, then it's an illegal participation by the coach, and they can cost their team a down.
And there's run plays in regular 7U, but not in the air it out?
Yes, air it out. Okay. You just need a legal forward pass with the regular 7U. Yeah. They can do all the handoffs they want and take it because there's no run zones. They have a full field to themselves.
So I really wish Jacob was on here right now because I feel like those quarterbacks, at least one of them, probably works at Dollar General, and Jacob would be pointing it out right now. These quarterbacks are coaching, living vicariously through their kids. And then on top of it, now they get to throw 500 yards against 5 7-year-olds. Like,
I saw some pretty impressive throws, quite frankly, from the quarterbacks. I was doing one team. He right behind the back, kid got it 1 foot in. It was a touchdown. So I mean, you know what? If it's going to be like that, then we can keep it. And the a good thing is though, no coaches had a problem. All the teams were there for fun. Nobody really cared who won that division.
Gotcha. Okay. So it was more sideline issues that you had to deal with, which usually that's what it is with youth. I mean,
when you do youth, that's what you expect walking into the game. It's never really the coaches. Yeah. And if the coaches have a problem, they just talk to you. If the kids have a problem, they talk to you. It's normally the parents because that's just what ruins youth sports.
Yeah. Me personally, I will officiate youth, but it's just boring to me. It reminds me of sevens and eights. It's just slow. There's not a lot of action. I need to be in the mix of it. I want a lot going on, and I just feel like youth. It's cool. They're the future. You know, I appreciate them and everything, but I would much rather be officiating whiny adults than the youth. That's me personally. Pat, any thoughts on youth flag football?
Like I tell you, you know, I spoke on this as far as in Richmond. Hey, I had to tell the granddad, hey, I got an extra shirt if you know all the rules and you're getting on my other official. Hey, the next game, you can bring your old behind out here and come help. Other than that, hey, I need you to quiet down. Sideline warning for your side and sideline warning for you. Hey, everybody gets it. So, hey, equal opportunity. Either be quiet and let the kids play or put on a referee shirt and come help me, old man.
I've seen it in person. I've seen it live. Pat is like Oprah when he starts handing out sideline warnings. You get a sideline warning. You get a sideline warning.
Yep. Everybody's getting a sideline warning.
Everybody.
All right, cool. And that just brings me right into five contact rec. So Pat, I want you to lead us off and I'll jump in when I have some thoughts.
Okay, so we're going to kick this five contacts off. We're going to start off first with the, I call it the Ohio Duck Wreckers, since it was four teams that finished in the top four of wreck. All teams from Ohio. I've seen a lot of teams with changed names and to play wreck because I played against some of these teams in comp and pro. But it was just funny to see a lot of these guys know all the rules, but don't know the rules as a rec player. And I'm like, dude, don't talk to me if you're playing rec. Sorry, like I don't talk to rec players. If you're not a coach, and if your coach is stupid, I'm not talking to him either. Like, bro, like you have to have some kind of, I would say, feet to stand on when you're coming to me asking about some rules, and you're the coach. But as a player, no. You know my policy. Zero tolerance, period. Yep. You know what I'm saying? If you got a discussion or you want to say something about a rule, call a timeout. We tell them before the game, call a timeout, have your captain come to us, and we'll explain it to you either at the timeout or explain it to you at halftime. That's it. But I've seen a whole lot of whiny rec players, a whole lot of You'd have thought they was playing youth. I promise you. They was terrible. I'm talking about from grabbing jerseys to, man, it was some of the wildest crap ever. Hitting guys in the face. I'm talking about clotheslining guys off the line of scrimmage. I'm like, what in the world? One guy said, hey, there's a blocking in the back. But you're engaged. And would you think you Dwight Freeney with a spin move? Like, bro, as soon as that guy put his hands on you, and you spin, and he gives you a good Haktul push, you're going to go flying. You know what I'm saying? You know, but 130 pounds rushing against a 260-pounder, and you do a spin move? Okay. Catch some wind. And then now, you know. Huh? Go ahead.
No, I don't know, man. On the sideline, I was seeing the big O, man. Big bad Ohio. Let's go, man.
But it was funny, man, because, you know, as we moved on to the women with the contact, and you hear, she's grabbing my hair. She's holding me. She's doing this. And the next play, can you watch her holding me? And then she goes out and give a big bear hug. And then it goes into a double bear hug. And we like, oh, so that's what we're doing, the contact now? I'm like, wow. I mean, I get it. I mean, ref, you say this contact. Yes, it is contact. But this ain't the WWE. This ain't Monday Night Raw.
Yep.
And this ain't Thursday Night SmackDown. I mean, come on, man. Like, what are y'all doing? Like, for real. But, I mean, overall, man, I seen good competition as far as in contact that day or the whole weekend, actually. But it just – I want some of these coaches, and I know they're never going to listen. I mean, they're never going to listen to the podcast. They're not going to hear anything. But they want to know all the rules at the field, and they want to go on Facebook and say the referees are trash and this and that. But maybe your coaching experience is trash because you can't prepare your team as a coach what not to do and how to be better. You know what I'm saying? So that being said, man, it just – these guys need to learn and know how to adapt, especially if you're playing contact and you're playing rec, and you've been playing for multiple years as rec. Like, come on, man. Rec is some, you have some skill level, but I think more rec is more dealing with team cohesion. You know what I'm saying? So I get it why they drop down to play rec. Talent-wise, yeah, you might be a good player or a talented player, and you might just not be good enough to play in pro and make a pro team. But I get it. But don't act like you know all the rules. I was like, well, I can play in pro. Okay, well, you playing rec right now. Move on.
So I kind of want to ask that question, just have you explain it, Pat, because you talk a lot about this. You're talking about the elite division, talking about rec now. So what kind of team should play in rec?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would say the teams that should play rec, honestly, are guys that are – first-time travel teams, honestly. First-time travel team, never played in no, I would say, a USA flag event. I mean, you play in your local leagues, you get the cohesion, and then now you're about to play against some of the top talent, allegedly, around the U.S. You should become and play rec, you know what I'm saying? And if you dominate rec and you gel in that tournament and you win it, you should move on. You know what I'm saying? I mean, granted, wait another year to move on because, you know, once you move up, you get into bigger ponds. So keep winning and build cohesion. You win a championship, then move up. If you don't win a championship, stay in rec, bro. I get it, you know. But don't think it's because you know everything. But that's the only thing I would say, a team that should play rec first time tournament-wise, and that's it.
Yeah, my highlights of five contact rec, and I think a good example of a rec team. I don't remember what their team name was, but they were wearing a light blue jersey, light blue and white. From what I heard on the sideline, they normally play sevens, and they were trying to
no fly zone. No. With that team name. Yep.
Yeah, there you go. No fly zone. They seemed like they were having a lot of fun. They seemed like they had a good formula. They had some big guys. They had some athletes. They had a quarterback that was mobile. They had the center that was just like nonstop comedy hour.
In Detroit. The white baby Detroit. I wish I could get his name. And hey, if we make a clip out of this show, I want Detroit to know he has a white brother somewhere. I don't know what state they in, but this dude talked on the sideline. He talked on the football field. Man, he even talked as he was losing. He still talked. I said, bro. And when they was done, he took off his clothes and came to the sideline and still was talking. This dude told me, he told the crowd, I ain't go to church today because I told God, I'm going to bless these fools at the field. I said, oh, clutch.
I said, I love that.
I love it. He'd be running up and down there. And he'd go out on releases, and he'd catch the ball, and he'd be like, oh, my hips aren't that fast enough. He'd be talking as he's running. Oh, man, that was classic. They made a good run, but ultimately they met those Ohio teams, and that was the end of their run. There were some other teams that I saw that were, I feel like were probably appropriate for rec. Me personally, when I had my team initially, we took over Colorado. We won every league in Colorado that we could find. Then we started traveling, and we started in rec. And it probably took us a good, I'd say a good 9 months before we won a tournament in Texas. And when we won that, we went to nationals as rec. We went to worlds. I think we finished third in worlds 1 year. That was kind of the highest we did in rec. So then the following year, we went up to comp, and we waited until we won a tournament in comp, and then we gave a shot at pro, and our pro career was the downfall of the team, and we had no business being in pro. And so, but that's how it goes. You gotta see where you land, and probably as a team, we were probably a good fit for comp once we got used to the travel and, how different it is compared to, playing in local leagues. Dean, did you get any working contact games at all?
I did. I think I did. We did on Saturday. I think it was Sunday. We did 5 contact. I think we were in comp. We only had 3 games. But I will say, the teams were amazing. Like, there was no arguing, there was no any sort of discrepancies. Like, we even had a quarterback that took the snap and was looking for his receivers and saw that Declan had thrown his hat off and, threw an incomplete pass, basically. And the one receiver's like, dude, I was open, throw to me. And the quarterback's like, no, dude, I can't. That ref threw his hat, means you went out of bounds. So I can't throw it to you or else we're going to get a penalty. And I'm like, why can't everyone be like this? Why is this? It was a dream. It was great. We had no complaints. We reffed the game. It was great. I think maybe there was, I don't know if it was Gauntlet or if it was contact where Declan threw an unsportsmanlike on a guy, because Declan was on fire this weekend with his flag, by the way. He threw a sports like on a guy, and then the guy came to me, and he's like, yo, white hat. And I'm like, yo, what's up? It's like, if you got a problem with him, you got a problem with me. So let's talk it out. Like I said to him, let's talk it out. Let's talk it out. What you got? Like, what's your problem? What the problem is? And he is like, I asked him a question, and then he threw a flag on me, and I'm like, nah, that's not how it went. Tell me how it really went so we can reason. And then he told me how it really went, and we reasoned about it. And I'm like, I got you, dude. If you have any problems, I got you. Don't worry about it. We'll squash it. Let's get it done. He threw the flag. Let's move on. That's the ball game. And, he's like, oh, I appreciate you. Thank you for it. Because I was explaining a rule to him. I can't remember what the rule was. I think I explained about 15,000 rules to different players this weekend. But it was a rule clarification. And then he's like, okay, that's all I wanted. That's good. And I'm like, all right, we're good to go. Play ball. It was a really, really good – it was really good getting some contact working.
Yeah, for sure. So that was 5 contact comp was that, because you guys were next to me and Joe, and then the playoffs went through our field. Declan, your thoughts on contact?
Contact, it's pretty fun to work, I'll tell you, especially when you do tackle. It's fun to see them, get physical, and then they play some football. I will tell you, though, what he was talking about, what's work's been like. We had a – it was a flag guard, And the guy, he dipped and he swiped his hand. You could 100% tell he swiped his hand to push the defender's hand back. So I threw the flag. I immediately threw it up the spot, continued going back. And afterwards, the guy was asking me. And he's like, did you see him dip? Well, no. The guy didn't dip. The guy didn't. He was upright and he swiped his arm. And then the guy goes, did you see him dip? I said, I didn't know. I didn't see the guy dip. When he was closer to me, I didn't see him dip. He just swiped his hand. So as I continue moving downfield, then he starts yelling and he starts, you know, upping his voice. And I told him, stop. Because if you're going to start yelling at me, there's no point in me talking to you. Because you asked me a question, but now you're telling me the answer. So why ask me if you already know the answer? So there's no point in me engaging in a conversation with you because there's no winning. There's no me telling you what happened. It's you're going to believe what you believe, and that's the end of the discussion. So yeah. I said, okay, you know what? That's enough. He goes, I'm a grown A man. You ain't going to tell me what to do. You shut the F up. So I went, okay, that's fine. Flag. And I walked over, and he went, you know what? That's it. And he called the game. Okay. But I 5-on-5 contact, one of my favorite divisions to do because it's football. And everybody understands, you know, they're not doing everything on purpose. And they're really not complaining about every little bit of contact because it's contact.
Yeah. Well, hey, tell that to the guy that was on outfield that I had to eject for calling Ann out of his name and for doing some illegal act that I can't even remember.
Whoa, back it up. You ejected somebody too?
Oh, yeah. You know
it. Yeah. He ejected that player 3 times, I think, before he finally left the field.
Yeah, I had to call Jacob over to have him removed from the field because he was acting crazy. I mean, like, I think – did they win the game or did they lose the championship?
That team was Greenbacks. Greenbacks won, right?
Yeah, they did. I think they did win the championship, but then – he started, you know, acting crazy, and he was like, well, he always get kicked out. Well, I don't care if he act crazy in Ohio. I mean, I told y'all. I mean, you're not going to disrespect any of the officials on the field that I'm on. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it was a similar call, Declan, that you're talking about. I mean, I was the back judge. This guy's running right towards me. So I've got clear vision, and he flagged guard. And my flag comes out immediately. The play finishes, and I explained to Pat that it was a flag guard. Pat, you know, marks out the spot, and this dude boots the ball 20 yards. That's an unsportsmanlike to me. As soon as you throw or kick the ball out of the field, you're getting an unsportsmanlike. So then from there, he went off onto the sideline, and him and his teammate proceeded to spend the rest of the game calling me every name possible. And then I think something happened on the next drive. I think maybe Greenbacks got an interception. And that's when that guy used the opportunity to call me out of my name, because apparently the interception was my, you know, getting back at me. So that's when Pat threw him out, or attempted to throw him out. He didn't leave. The team captain was continuing to call me names that I have not been called. I will say that there was some language used against me this past weekend that I have not experienced on the football field, at least. And he just kept going and kept going and kept going. And Pat, you know, tried to throw him out again. He said he had to get his cleats off before he left the field. And that's where Jacob came over. What sucks about this whole situation is this was a really great game. And if all of that hadn't been going on, this really would have just been – it was a back-and-forth game, great plays being made on both sides of the ball. We end up tied at the end of the game. They go into overtime. I mean, I thought it was a great game. And I feel like – in any of these situations, whether it's a fight that breaks out or someone that gets thrown out, that becomes the attention of the game instead of thinking about the fact that these were two solid teams, whether they should be in comp or rec, but two solid teams that battled it out. And at the end of it, in overtime, there was a champion, national champion. So, it was interesting for me to experience. I haven't lived in Ohio that long. Maybe that's how everybody talks in Ohio. I'm not really sure, but that's That's what I experienced on the sideline with an Ohio versus Ohio championship game. So, yeah, I mean, outside of that, yeah, contact women's was, you know, we had a few games of that with, you know, Pat, you and me and Joe. I really think that they thought they were in the middle of WrestleMania. I don't think they thought they were playing football. I don't know if that's just, I don't know that team heavy hit us, but do they normally play contact? Is that
they're from Chicago, and they normally are that they are tough, man. It just, you know, when you play level up, remember I told you, you play level up, man, you really got to level up because those girls are going to give you athleticism. They're going to give you proper coaching and all that thing. And once you lose your cool, it's over. You know, your game is pretty much done with because they don't want over you because now you lost your cool. But, yeah, I've seen it firsthand worse as far as here in North Carolina. When you're watching the eighth and you got the lower divisions, I've seen a girl beat a rusher. A big blocking back, and a rusher is probably about like this big, and she grab her and toss her about like 10 yards, and the rusher gets up and rushes her and just swinging that air, and you have the blocking back like, ref, please get her before I retaliate. And I'm like, oh, my God. And so, you know, I've seen it with the women. The women are always like that. That's what I always say, zero tolerance. So, yeah. You know, and like you said, with the women, it is what it is. They'll calm down, but – I would have thought we'd have had that with YTG and Free Smoke, but it was nothing in the championship game.
Yeah.
So
I will say that I think a very big difference about contact is the contact pro men's division. There really usually aren't a lot of issues. I think they really just want to be physical. They want to play. They're going to trash talk a little bit, but they want to finish the game. And so they don't want it to turn into a fight. Just my experience. I know we've had a few ejections, but I think honestly that's more from comp or rec teams that have to play in like an open division, and they got to face a pro team, and they're just not matched up for it, so they get their feelings hurt, and then they start throwing punches. Heavy hitters wasted no time; they got eliminated, and they turned it into a party. I think it was because Dean was running that field, and. And they just wanted to celebrate Dean, and they had music.
Oh, I told him, I ran to Jacob immediately and was like, Jacob, we need to turn that down now because I'm getting players that can't hear my whistles and flag. I'm like, yo, they need to turn that down now. And Jacob's like, okay, dude. Like, and I'm like, sorry for coming at you hot, but like, I'm in the middle of a heated game. I need that music off, so please. Yeah. it got turned down real quick.
It was funny because as soon as they lost, as soon as they got, you know, booted out of the bracket, they were in their club clothes immediately, and they had the tent turned into a little mini club, and it was going crazy over there. And then I happened to look over, and I'm like, oh, I didn't even know Dean and Declan over there. They're having a little party. But, you know, speaking of the predictions we made last week, Pat, Tom Brady 2.0, she beat Level Up.
Hey, what I told you, I said she don't lose. I was like, it's a toss-up, but I say, bro, she is like that if she gets hot. So, and she probably got hot when I left and went off.
Yeah, none of us were on that field for that championship, but I definitely heard the back and forth uproar of scores and everything. So I think it was probably an exciting game. So next up, Air It Out Comp. Who worked Air It Out Comp? Go ahead, Dean.
Hi. Yeah, so on Saturday, I did Air It Out Comp, but I did the women's, and then I did men's novice, and I got to White Hat. With it was me and David Spokel. I think that's how you pronounce it. A really good official. We worked Air It Out Comp in the morning. Funny enough, when I saw Air It Out Comp came on, I'm like, wait a minute, I think I'm reffing Cayman Islands. And I'm like, I traveled 1,900 miles to get away from them. Only to end up ripping them in the first two games. But it went well. That was in one of the games where I saw the push off and then the arm pull. And I was like, nah, we're not doing this. Like, let's play a game. Let's move it on. And then we got down to the championship game. And the day was going so smoothly, man. It was running brilliantly. I was like, oh, this is awesome. Like, we're killing it. And then it came to the championship game. And all that went out the window very quickly. The championship game, it was going smoothly until there was a play where a receiver caught the ball. The defender tried to go. The defender ripped it out of the receiver's hand. So out comes my flag for stripping right away. And then the player took offense to it. So the offensive player gets up and literally shoves the girl in her chest and pushes her down. So out comes another flag for a personal foul. So it ended up being two penalties being assessed, the stripping and the personal foul, because it was the same person that, like, pushed and stripped the ball. So we assessed both penalties. We get it down. It's first down, automatic first down. And then there was some confusion with the downs in the game. All three of the refs, we all had to, because they were trying to run out the clock, right? But they made a mistake by throwing an incomplete pass. And then it ended up being third down. And then they, some confusion with third and fourth down. And it just started a massive brawl, like not brawl, but like arguments from coaches and everything. And I'm like, Jacob, we need Jacob. Like, we need Jacob now. Like, not yesterday, now. And at the end of it all, I was like, look, this is time on the clock. There's not enough time. It's ball game. So I blew ball game right away. I was like, ball game. I'm not doing this. We're not arguing. Like, it's simply ball game. And they went off on Jacob, and they were like, this can't be happening, blah, 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 blah. And it was just a complete shit show. Like, excuse the language, but it went downhill fast. And I'm not going to lie, it took me a while to recover from that, because I was like, in my mind, I'm like, what? Why did that happen? What could I, as a white hat on that field for a championship game, what could I have done better to avoid that? And I kept, like, Jacob could see I was frustrated, like upset, and he eventually came to me and he's like, look, forget about it. It's in the past. What's happened, happened. Move on. Focus. Like, don't get caught up on it. You're a great official. Just keep doing what you do. And I'm like, you got it. It's right. But still, I kept throwing F-bombs to myself, and I was kicking myself because I was like, the whole day was going great until that happened. But overall, it was a great division. I mean, comp is comp. They're competitive. We had high scoring games. By high scoring, not very. Our first game was the final score of 2-0. I was like, all right, so 2-0, basically watching paint dry. But it was fun. It got more exciting as was going on during the day.
Yeah. So sorry to continue to just pick at this wound, but. Explain this to me. All three of you had this it being third down and everyone else disagreed, or?
No, where the confusion came was we had one official that had second down and then two other officials that had third down, myself included. So obviously, I'm going to go with majority, especially if it's the white hat, I also have third down. But I'm not going to overrule because one official has second. And I just think that came into play, and the team saw that, and they used that as an opportunity to go for it. So it's just, I think we just need to get better at, like, all being unison or, unified on the downs. Like, just keep – you cannot say it enough. Every down, just give a down check. It's second down, it's third down, it's first down. Just keep doing that so that it avoids all this confusion. Because if that had happened, we wouldn't have had this confusion, and it would have been a better championship game. Because I don't want it to come down to the refs.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Declan can attest to this. Me and him in co-ed amateur, which I was blown away that there was an amateur division for co-ed. But, yes. You know, but anyway, I mean, that you know, co-ed adds a whole other tier to it. You're not just doing about first, second, third. You got open two, open one, closed. We were dealing with in-between rain delays. We had a roster check. We had a seizure happen. We had all these things going on. Me and Joe raced, by the way. I think I won, but apparently Declan says Joe won, you know. But I don't want to speak on that. We're talking about football right now. It was definitely – there was a lot of challenges in co-ed amateur that we had to deal with. But – I think that, Declan, how do you feel about this? Do you think we spent the time we needed to do conference and kind of get on the same page about things, or was there things that we could have improved on as a crew?
Well, as a crew, you know, all we can do is get together. And that's because all you have is you, however many there you are on the field, and sometimes it's against the two other teams because adults, okay, these people are nosy. We could be talking about the most unrelated football thing, and they want in on what we are talking about. We could be talking about what we want for dinner, and they'll be right there. So, but I will say, you know, we did have a couple times, you know, where we might have missed, you know, we did not all of us have the same down, or not all of us have the same open two, open one, or close. But we got together on it. I do remember there was one play. I think I had something different, and you two had something. I know I missed it. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go with you guys. The problem is players don't listen to when crews tell them to take a step back and let us speak. Because then once they get that ear in and they hear that official has something different, like Dean said, it's going to be now they're going to try to turn me against y'all against me. And it's going to become the most disorganized, mind-boggling situation ever. So that's one good thing that the crew of three that we had was, when we got together, we backed everybody away. Even my crew I had on Friday, we backed everybody away. We came together. We spoke about it for the appropriate amount of time needed. We said what the call was, and we moved on. We didn't have to explain nothing. We set it in stone.
Yeah, and speaking of a messy situation, here we are. We got the director of trash himself. What up, Jacob?
What up?
Hey, what up? There he is.
Hey, I wanted to do a vintage, you know, vintage entrance, kind of do a little throwback to the beginning of the show, back when Ant was in the, you know, was rocking it from the passenger seat.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Jacob, we were literally just talking about you like 2 seconds ago.
Hey, we were talking about
Aaron outcome with when I came to you with my frustration about that championship game. And I was like, I was beating myself up the whole day. Like, my field ran so smoothly up until the biggest game of the day. And it was just a shit show. And I was beating myself up. And Jacob's like, dude, don't worry about it. Like, this happens. Move on. Let's keep it rolling.
Keep it moving. Rolling.
Exactly.
Hey, all I got to say is, Jacob, you didn't hear it, but Dean has been bad-mouthing you for the last 43 minutes, man.
I have not been saying a word. You can play this recording back. I have not said a word.
I will. And I also have an order form for the new Cable City shirt, so.
Oh, man. All right. So we were just talking a little bit about, you know, because Dean brought up that example in Arid Outcomp. Me and Declan, we worked together in co-ed amateur. And we had a few different times just because of, you know, everything going on with the rain delays and the roster check and all that stuff, where we came together as a crew and just made sure that we were on the same page. Jacob, what's your best advice? I would say specifically co-ed, because there is just so much to kind of keep track of. What's your best advice as far as communicating with the different crew members to make sure that everyone stays on the same page?
Just be receptive, man. That's the biggest thing. The more you open yourself up to listening to everybody, to figuring out what everyone has, what everyone saw, what's going on the field, it's going to put you in a better position to be successful. I think the biggest thing, people get confused. They, you know, with co-ed, it, it is one of the most difficult formats. You have to think the most. You know, you have to think, was that a, what happened here? How did this play go? Did X, Y, and Z happen? And if they did, you know, what does that mean? So the more you talk and the more you figure things out and you work together and you don't let your ego get in the way and say that I can handle it on my own, that I can run the show and I don't need anybody else, the more successful you're going to be.
Yeah, and so and then we had another situation that was right before one of the delays, and Jacob, I know I talked to you about it. Declan, I don't know if you remember this.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you. This is me catching up. Jesus, Pat, where'd all your facial hair go? Dude, how many little kids do we have on this show?
Still, dude, I just cut it down.
Hey, I got facial hair. Don't judge the beard.
You didn't cut it down. You cut it off.
Yeah,
hey, man.
I told you.
I wasn't expecting it. And I apologize. Go ahead. We talked right before the rain delay.
Yeah, no.
I gotta get my mind right. My bad, man.
You're good. So we had a situation where basically what happened is the offense ran a play. They were at a – so when I do it, I do open two to start. So the first play of the drive is open two. Then I go open one, then close. Okay, so it was open two. An impeding the rush happened. A male receiver catches the pass. At the end of the pass, he goes out of bounds and he gives a nice little elbow to the defender. All right, so the impeding the rush flag came out right away. Then we had a personal flag come out down there. We're just trying to figure out exactly how to handle this, you know, live ball, dead ball penalty, and then we get hit with the alarm and we stopped and everything. So we had the opportunity to kind of discuss it and make sure that we were on the same page. But Jacob, can you explain how that all needs to be configured specifically in co-ed when you've got closed and open and all that?
Right. All right. So Ant counts down. I personally count up, whichever works, as long as you're consistent, everyone on the field and your fellow officials understand. So live ball fouls and dead ball fouls, they can be assessed separately, right? So what Ant described as an impeding the rush is a live ball foul. So it's going to be five from the line of scrimmage. He also then at the end of the play has an unsportsmanlike or unnecessary roughness, just depending on how you called it. And you can assess that after the initial penalty. So you can compound the two of those. Now you're only going to hit them for one loss of down. They're not going to lose two downs on that. But what we're going to do is we're going to go from open two to open one. If we're counting down, so you're gonna lose one down. You can stack your impeding on top of your unsportsmanlike or unnecessary roughness, and then you're gonna move on.
Gotcha. Now another situation I had happen that I think I talked to you about. It was funny because after dealing with this situation, I got called by players on the sideline. I got called a liar. Over and over again for the rest of the game. But basically what happened is I had already given a sideline warning and a player on the sideline was starting to, you know, say a lot of unnice things to a player on the field. So I hit him with an unsportsmanlike. And as I'm hitting him with an unsportsmanlike, the player on the field on the team that hasn't had a warning yet start saying stuff back. So I hit him with a 5-play cooldown. Now, I explained to them that the 5-play cooldown is not an actual penalty, and so it's not offsetting, and that's where I was a liar. Jacob, am I a liar for doing that?
You liar. No, you're not a liar. It's at your discretion as to whether you issue an unsportsmanlike or a cooldown or both. I mean, you can do both. A cooldown is not a penalty. So if you hit one with just a cool down, there's nothing to assess for that except for that player needs to sit for five consecutive plays. So yeah, you're right with what you did, liar.
All right, cool. So next up, the next format we're going to talk about is Olympic Pat and floor year.
Oh, my favorite one now. I love Olympic now. Oh my God. You have so many dumb Olympic players that don't know the rules of rushing and always don't know the rule. I got my hand up for a reason. Can you hear me or is it breaking up?
Can you hear you?
I think Jacob froze.
Did you break
but I have my hand up for a reason because all these Olympic players, they post
to be
great players. That's you. But
yeah, you cut now, Jacob.
Yeah. But
Jacob, get a better service, bro.
All right, go ahead, Pat.
So what Olympic is, what my better? What my grief was, yeah. What my grief was the coaches not knowing again the rules of Olympic and not understanding that this wasn't IFAF. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever the hell that brand name is or whatever. As far as with the rusher keeping his hand up or she keeping her hand up prior to rushing. And what was it that Mike Better wanted? It was a call that
jumping.
And I'm like, bro, in USA flag, every division, and quote me on if I'm wrong, Jacob, tell me if I'm wrong, there's nowhere in the rule book that says in no format you cannot jump. I get no pitching, but nowhere in the rule book says you can't jump in USA flag. You can jump and dip, but in certain formats, you can't pitch or ladder the ball back down the field, stuff like that. And he did not want to listen. I mean, when I called him to the sideline, I talked to him and explained it to him. He went to, I think a director. I don't know which one he went to. And the director told him that they failed to insert it in the rule book. And I'm like, well, we plan out the rule book that we have now that we've studied and that we're operating on. And after that, we had no issues. But
You're sugarcoating it, man. We didn't throw a flag on that jump. And Michael Better literally booked it 50-yard dash right to the director. didn't even call a timeout, didn't challenge, we just booked it.
Yeah, he said, well, they called it on the other field. Well, that's not our field, bro. Come out at me and, hey, I explained it to you at halftime. And I explained it to him at halftime and he was cool with it. He actually literally was the guy that went around telling everybody, you can jump, you can jump, you can jump, you can jump. Because he actually got the correct rule. So, and I don't think he actually made it over to the director, actually. But
This
is the first time hearing about it, so it must not have made it to a director.
Yeah.
He just couldn't find anybody.
Yeah, but
I mean, really when he came back from his 50-yard dash, I had already had the rules pulled up, and I said, look, I'll show it to you real quick. These are the only things that are added for Olympics. Nowhere does it say jump in. And he was cool and calm about it, and he said the same thing. He just said all the other field they were doing it. All right, cool. Good to get it out of the way in pool play. But I got to say this, guys, even though I can't support this statement anymore, you guys said Camel City is the SEC of contact football. That's baloney. Canada is the SEC of Olympic flag football because they dominated that division.
they're the Big 12. You up there where they at. They're the Big 12. Not the SEC. It's the Southeastern Conference. They're the Big 12.
Hey, you don't know. They might be from Southeastern Canada.
Big 12. I don't care what part of the pie you slice it. Big 12.
And they not.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other thoughts? Jacob, you have any thoughts on the Olympic division? Yeah.
Not much. I think the way we have it written and the way we play, it's a good introductory for teams who are trying to get into the IFAF format and trying to get into that where you don't have quite as much of the absolutely zero, none at all contact. But it gets you kind of in that mindset of, hey, a rusher can come from anywhere. Hey, you can't lateral the ball downfield, only in the backfield. Just the little things, the extra down for that, where it's not aired out. So I think it's good. I think it's going to take some getting used to, especially for the national teams.
Mm-hmm. And, hey, I can tell you one thing. I learned and adapted very fast I had never ref against Mike rushing ever. After that, you know, I keep a whistle from anywhere close to my mouth, no diddy. And after I missed a flag pull, he was that quick. Bro, I kept the whistle close every time. After that, I was like, yo, this dude is so freaking fast. As a rusher, you have to have the whistle in your mouth to watch it because you can miss him pulling the flag that fast. He literally gets from that seven-yard distance to the quarterback in probably like 3 seconds, bro. That dude is fast as hell.
You know you can still blow the whistle after the fact, right? You don't have to.
You can, but it was about like 3 seconds, Jacob. It was like a delay.
You don't have to match your whistle up with the flagpole.
I get
it's
it.
Okay, but, man.
But at the same time, what it's called adapting and learning, I did both. You know what I'm saying? Because at the same time, the quarterback flopped, and he threw the ball. So there was a lot going on. I was like, damn, he really got that flag. Granted, it didn't cost him the game in pool play, but from then on, that whole tournament after that day, that game, it was lights out from there. I was like, oh yeah, Mike, you done messed up. You done made a new standard for me, bro. But
I remember as a spectator, you know, because remember as I said last week in Chicago, my team went 1-19, so we did a lot of spectating that weekend. we were watching YTG against Freak in, I think it was the 5 championship or something like that. And Devin, man, we would count it on the snap. It was like 1/1000 and he was there. Like, it's amazing when a rusher has speed, it's crazy how quick they get back to that quarterback.
Yeah,
for sure. And especially in Olympic where they can go right up the middle. You know, they can go right through that bunch.
And he was doing the exact thing. Like, they'll go bunch, and I'll sit back there and be like, you stupid, because he's going to take an impeding rusher. Because he's going to raise his hand, and he's going to run full speed and run smack into somebody.
Yeah,
I'm surprised he played, to be honest with you. With as close as they are to getting ready to go to Finland, I'm surprised he played. I'm surprised a lot of those guys played.
I think that was the only format he did play that weekend, honestly.
He played some others.
I didn't see him play anything else. But yeah.
That's because you were a little
I think there's a balance, right? Probably with any situation like that, whether it's like Olympic basketball players or, you know, international flag, but you gotta find that balance of staying fresh and not putting yourself in a situation where you get injured.
That's definitely true.
But all right, cool. Well, let's keep it moving. We got two more formats we want to talk about, and then Jacob, I do have some rules we need you to just go over for us, and we'll keep it moving. So I want to start you off, Declan, with it. Let's talk about Gauntlet Pro.
Okay, Gauntlet Pro is definitely something. It's one of the first times I've worked that division. The last time I worked it was in Worlds, and I worked it once. And it was one game, and I did not have it on the rest of my schedule. So to work it in Nashville, for how many games I did, it's very fast because, you know, you only use half the field, and you get 4 downs. So there's not much, you know, movement. So I started almost down to the goal line. I was a back judge for when I did Gauntlet Pro. I started at the 5 yards leading into the goal line because I was not going to run. Tell you right now, those guys were a lot faster than I was. I was not going to try to catch up to them because I wouldn't have made it. I mean, when you and Joe raced, I was backpedaling and you guys still beat me. So I was not going to get burnt in something with such a small field. So Dean was the white hat for the games that I did, and it was interesting. One thing I do like is that it's only half a field. I don't have to do all that extra running. Granted, I was not a fan of the final play of the championship that I had to make the call of, but, you know, because I got swarmed, but that's besides the point. But it was definitely a fun division. There was a couple guys that cracked me up. We had a call. I called a touchdown. The other guy didn't see his touchdown, so we all conferred to make sure we got it right. Dean comes up talking, and there's a team. He looks at me. He goes, if you change that call, my ass is going to get ejected. I said, just hold on a second. Let us talk. Hold on. he comes over, and Dean, I'm cracking up. Dean's like, hold on. He's like, if you change the call, my ass is going to get ejected. I'm like, just wait a second.
That was YTG, by the way, just so you know.
He comes over. And we're talking. I'm like, I got a touchdown. He goes, you do? I'm like, yeah. So we used to get a touchdown. He goes, see, look, you knew it was better for you. And I walked away back to the goal. That's what he said. I started cracking up. I'm like, okay, you can believe that, but that's fine. But I would definitely.
I have never feared for a man's well-being as much as I did with Declan on final play.
So I'm gonna give you a lot of what happened with that final play. So they snap the ball. We have 30 seconds left in the game. I'm on the goal line. I'm right there. Guy runs to my side, of course, and he goes to kind of put the ball over the pylon so that way he can get the touchdown call. But he steps out before the ball comes near the pylon. So I'm looking at the ground because I'm watching his feet. He steps out, and then the ball goes over the pylon.
Tough.
So I automatically come up and I ray and I start signaling now. Woo! They came off their rocker. They were flying off that sideline like a bat out of hell. They were jumping. They were screaming. I had a guy behind with his arms out like this, yelling, "What?" They surrounded me. I just looked at them, put my head down, walked to the sideline. When we're walking there, Dean goes, "How'd it feel like to get damn swarmed?" I said, "I feel no different, but let's go." And I hustled back to the town because I was not going to get followed or hit. So
we hustled it.
We hustled it all right.
All right, Dean. No, but I know you've been in. Oh, Declan, you got one more thing to say?
Oh no, you can. It's all up to Dean or you or whoever.
Okay. Dean's been itching. He wants to talk about this game. Dean, let me hear it, man.
No, so, I mean, Gauntlet is – I really like the format. Obviously, if you have a four-man crew with Gauntlet, it's a lot more magic. Like, it's really cool. Obviously, getting to White Hat, the pro division in Gauntlet, it was a real honor. I'm great that I got to do that. Especially considering we were part of probably the greatest play in USA Flag. Like, that needs to get on SportsCenter. I'm sorry, but it is. The quarterback's back behind his back, up in the air, and then the guy leaps one hand, brings it down. Great call, by the way, Declan. Great fucking call.
Appreciate it.
And I was like, even at that point, I was hoping for you. I was like, even if he's out, call it in, because we're not taking that away from him. Like, it was the greatest play. Like, it was so great. But yeah, he was in. Obviously, he was in. But, no, so we start off with pool play. Obviously, it was only four teams in the pro. So, we get down to it, and then the championship game comes up. And, obviously, I've heard a lot about YTG and, you know, a lot of good things, some bad things as well. But we get up to the championship game, and I see the championship game has Flag Beast versus Mean Machine. I'm like, all right, cool. So, no big deal. I see players with YTG shirts coming up. And I'm like, woo, 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 woo. I was like, back it up. And all of them were wearing YTG. And I'm like, all right, cool. So, this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. I'm getting YTG in the championship game of Gauntlet Pro. Cool. No problem. Let's roll with it. Captains, please. Call the captains. Go out to toss down. And immediately at the toss, I told him at the toss, I'm like, guys, this is pro. Let's have a good game. I'm not taking any of your shit. Let us ref the game. You play the game. As simple as that. Don't put the games in our hands. If you do, that's your fault. Just have a good game, and let's leave it on the field. Flag Beast, obviously Flag Beast lost with that final play in the championship. So, after the game, one of the directors, of course, came up when I went to go check in with Jacob at the side of the field, and all of a sudden, right out, he says, there was a lot of contact in that game. There was way too much contact that you let go that should not have been let go. And I was like, at first, I was like, all right, cool. Like, I just got done. Like, let me catch my breath before getting by. The director must have said that at least five times, repeated it maybe more, that there was a lot of contact in that game. And I'm like, well, You know what? Like, I had told my crew before, if you have a flag, call it. If you don't, don't. But, yeah, it was a contact we let go, sure. But did we want to let him play in a pro championship game? Absolutely. Was there some things I should have called that I didn't call? Well, probably. But it was, in the end, it was a great game. And, you know, I stand by all the calls that myself and my crew made or didn't make. And, yeah, it was a great time doing it.
Jacob, your thoughts on what Dean just said?
I mean, it's at the end of the day, it was his game to call. So I mean, what he saw, what they saw, if they didn't have, you know, if they didn't have penalties, they didn't have them. I didn't get to watch the game, so I couldn't tell you one way or another. So I mean, you know, at the end of the day, we got to work through. I mean, that was a long weekend. You know, I think people don't take that into account for some of these guys. You know, that's 60 plus games. These guys are on their feet, moving constantly, just stuff like that. So, I mean, at the end of the day, as long as you had a good time, you gave your best effort, you did what you thought was fair and right, that's all we asked for.
I will say one thing, though. Like, when we were in the rain delay right before we started up again, we were all in the ref room, and we were talking about, like, how many unsportsmanlike conducts did we throw in this tournament? And I just happened to say, I've thrown none. I have not thrown a single unsportsmanlike conduct this entire weekend. And I don't know who it was that said it. I think it might have been Drew. But it's like 2-1 odds Dino throws an unsportsmanlike coming out of the break. And I'm like, I'll take those odds because I'm not gonna throw one. The first gauntlet game. Have the one of the players, like, it got really chippy and he started going over, like, he actually went over to the other team's sideline, like, he was walking over, shit talking. And I said to myself, I'm like, please don't make me do this, please do not make me do this, like, do not go over to that sideline. And he went straight over the sideline, got in the face, shit talking. I'm like, god damn it, not gonna ruin the streak. And my flag came so high. My flag came so high out of my pocket and out of my waist. It, like, went pew, straight up in the air. And I'm like, god damn it, there goes the streak. And I was like, nah. So, but that was the only one that I threw. It went like, pew, straight up out of the pocket.
Like a rocket. I'm going to add one thing to the catch that he was talking about in the end zone. So after I signaled the touchdown when the guy got his one foot in, which is what the USA flag says, all he needs is a foot in. I had one of the, I'm pretty sure it was the DNA team. They came up and said, the ball hit the ground. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, the ball hit the ground. I said, did he have possession on it? Yeah. Going back and looking at the footage, his hand came down and hit the ground, but he still maintained possession of the football, still got his one foot in. I said, he had one foot in, right? He goes, yeah. I'm like, okay, it's a touchdown. He's like, but it was an incomplete pass. He has to have 2 feet in. I said, no, we ain't going to do this here because I've already made a great call and you're not going to take it back from me. It was a one
yeah.
foot in.
Hey, Declan, you're a superstar online, bro. I've been reading the comments on that post. Everyone is talking about Declan's little nod, his little head nod. It's like the ref approves. Like, everyone's talking about that ref making that call. And I love that, man. That was awesome because it was a great call that you made.
He caught it, and I went. And I continued walking to the sideline. And I didn't expect
it's the little head nod. Head
nod. I didn't expect people to watch the head nod, but apparently people didn't. So
a lot of people. All right.
What are you thinking?
I was going to say, it's funny how much is filmed, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So
my literal reaction to that when that happened, and I think the quarterback heard me, but when he threw the backhand pass, I was like, "Ain't no way!" And he looked at me. He literally looked at me as the pass was in the air. The quarterback looked at me, looked at the receiver, and was like, "Yes, way." And I'm like, I literally was like, "Damn! All right, I see you." I was like, "Damn!" I'll give pumps to a dude and I high five him. I like I dapped him and I'm like, yeah, dude, that was nasty. That was disgusting. Like you should be charged for like attempted murder because it was bad. Like it was.
Hey, so I put Dean on the spot the last time he was on the show. Declan, I'm gonna do the same thing to you. Who is the official that you love to work with the most?
Oh God. Oh dear.
No, he's not available.
I've worked with you. I that really takes some time to think of because I've only done 3 tournaments so far.
So have I. It's not a politician answer. Trust me. Give an answer because I gave my answer.
I genuinely don't know because I haven't worked with some of the guys long enough to like. No, I'm gonna be honest and honest. I don't have a favorite one to work with because you work with different people every tournament. Now, do I have officials I prefer to work with? Yes.
Who
do I prefer? I'll be honest, Tim. Right Tim there, who? Bam, wham, shablam. Right there, it doesn't take crap. Conversation's done. But I know when I did youth camps and the coaches were coming up being tripping, it's the first tournament I ever did. He just said, no, we got time for this. Right. I was in Orlando. You're 100% correct.
Are you talking about Tim Casey?
Yeah.
All right, that's right a good answer.
He had my back through, even if when I made a bad call, he was there, he had my back, backed me up on it, explained to the coach, even if it was wrong, how it was right. Coaches took it, and when we got through the tournament, there really wasn't no problems with that tournament except the last play of the game. Final game of the tournament, last play of the game.
You're good, aren't you?
Yeah, you are, Declan.
So I happened to on Friday night I finished early and I just happened to grab my little mic'd up setup and I went up to Tim and I was like, hey, put this on real quick. I didn't realize that there was like 25 seconds left. It was a championship game. I honestly don't even know what format, division, what it was. But it was an exciting last 25 seconds. They ended up going to overtime. But looking back at all the footage I got of Tim mic'd up, oh, man, he communicates really well to the officials. Every time he got together in the crew to talk, he was asking good questions. It was insightful. I didn't have my ref gear on, and there was even guys on the sideline like, oh, what do you think about this? I was like, nope, I'm just recording. Don't ask me anything. Just recording. I learned a lot from him just in that little bit. I thought he handled that game really well. It was high pressure situation. So Dean, Declan, I didn't realize you guys were doing gauntlet next to me. I'm over here just hanging out with my contact buddies, the comp division. Me and Joe are having fun, throwing guys out, giving unsportsmanlike every 2 minutes. And I look over and it seemed like there was a scuffle every time I looked over to you guys' field. But I think you guys handled it great, just like Jacob said. You know, at the end of the day, you guys are in charge and you guys called the game you guys called. So don't sweat the small stuff, just keep it moving. So speaking of keep it moving, let's go right into co-ed pro. Now, I had the opportunity to work co-ed pro on, I guess that was Saturday morning, and I had B-Cove with me. I had another official, Brian, and we had a lot of fun. I will tell you the flag that I threw the most during co-ed pro was illegal equipment, and I'm sure that Jacob heard all about that. Jacob, you have anything you want to share about that penalty I threw?
No, man, I think it's simple. If ants on your field, you better have your hit flags on your hips.
That's it.
You better have your flags on your hips. I don't think I've ever heard of an official calling that so much as you did. Well, hey, that's your judgment, your discretion. It's what it's there for. So yeah. At the end of the day, you're doing right by what the rule book says. My Lord.
Quick question about with flags and like the equipment, illegal equipment. If the flags are on the way, they're fine, they're pointed out, but the belt is loose, not loose, but loose.
Oh God, Aaron, and love this.
And the defender, and the defender goes for the flag, but the bell spins.
It's a penalty.
And they missed
the flagger.
What is the call?
It's listed in the rule book as a flag guard. Right now it's listed in the rule book as a flag guard. I don't quite think it's a flag guard. I think it's illegal equipment.
Fucked that one a couple times.
That's what that one turns into.
I think you got two different scenarios, right? If you throw the flag if you have talked to a player and you said tighten your belt, and this is exactly what I happened in Toy Pro. I asked the quarterback, I said, can you please tighten your belt before the first drive of the game? After I had already talked to the captains about doing it, I asked him, can you please tighten your belt? And he said no to me. As soon as he snapped the ball, my flag came down. That's where I feel the illegal equipment goes. Now, if I don't throw my flag there and I let a play happen and then the belt spins, that to me is where then it becomes a flag guard. So I guess my thought is it's better to throw the illegal equipment at the line of scrimmage and deal with it there, because that play will probably slow down and they probably won't, you know, go farther. I mean, I don't know, though. Maybe the offense prefers the call of the flag guard because at least they're getting some yardage off of that. So, I don't know. Pat, what do you think?
I think if he gets sacked and you call a flag guard or whatever it is, it's going to be an uproar regardless, bro. However you did it, and I loved it. I ain't gonna lie, because my clock did not stop running at all. As soon as you was like, hey, Chad, you got to fix your flag, I said, damn, he fucking went. Everybody got to fix their flags. Like, well, he got no hold bar, he's keeping it black and white. I was like, I didn't even notice the flag was loose. An ant caught everybody's flag, even a person. He said, this dude ain't get a ball one play, but his flag is loose. I was like, dude, you got to tighten your flag. Yeah, but I mean, how'd it go, man? I mean, I would want you to flag me before the ball snap, or once the ball snap, so we can replay the down and we can fix our flag, or the dude can run off and fix his flag, or the female run off the field and fix their flag. Instead of we get a big play down the field and they miss the flag, and like I say, they miss the flag and we score, and it gets called back as a flag guard right there. Because, you know, the flag belt being loose, that's going to piss a lot more people off than right at the beginning. So,
Jacob, thoughts?
No, I mean, I agree. I think the biggest thing, you know, I would rather it be called in the beginning, right when the play happens, if something's off. Because if I have a big play and I take off downfield and I'm getting ready to score and all of a sudden someone makes an attempt and that happens and then it's a flag, I'm going to be even more pissed then than I am back at the line of scrimmage. Yeah. That's just my thought.
Yeah. I just think about this. Earlier in the year, we all kind of started about, flags cannot be inverted. They have to be pointed out. And I think as a whole, we all started paying attention to it more. And I remember Lance saying on an episode that right around maybe San Antonio, he had started to notice that the players were just naturally doing it. Now they all know, okay, the officials are looking for this. It's changing. We can't continue to cheat like this. Da, da, da. And I just feel like it's just another one of those things. I will say this, in my opinion, I feel like it does give an unfair advantage to have your jersey over your belt, to have them inverted, to have them loose. It's not how the flags are meant to be worn. And so that's my soapbox. And I feel like if all officials just take a little bit more time, whether it's at the coin toss or simply just throwing that first flag, when you throw that first flag, I feel like a lot of players will then fix it from there. Now, that wasn't the case for me, and I heard it all every single game, every pro game that I worked, I heard it. I got called a lot of names. I got told why I, you know, all kinds of things. But every team got it from me. And so for me, that's what's most important, is that every single team, I was checking, I was looking at it, and I was trying to stay on top of it. ultimately, we're all human. We're all going to miss things. But I would much rather have something where I throw that illegal equipment flag at the start of the game. Then, for example, that big catch, Declan, that you called, imagine if you're throwing an illegal equipment on that in a Gauntlet Pro Championship, and that's the first time something's said. It's much better to do it in pool play at the start of the game than in the championship way, you know, way far down at the end of the night. That's my opinion. So, just real quick, Jacob, I want you, this is a request that we had. I just want you to talk about the bunch formation and what the whole lane situation. Now, as an official, I have seen this rule slightly change and the wording players interpreted it a different way. So if you can just explain what makes a bunch and what doesn't.
All right. So I'm kind of flying off the hip here. I don't have the rule book pulled up in front of me, but so essentially in non-contact, what we're looking for is we're looking for 6 inches or less of space between players from the center over either side. The big thing there is you should be able to fit a body between if it's open, right? So if it's closed, what we're going to tell our rushers then is if you want your right of way, you have to go from the outside of either side of the bunch. If you don't care about your right of way, you can still stay at 7. You can still rush from anywhere. If you don't go to the outside, then you lose your right of way. And if there's contact, it's going to be called on you. You're not going to get an impeding call. You have to start from the outside, and you have to keep a true line to the quarterback, to the line of scrimmage, in order to get an impeding call. So that's what we're looking for. It's not where you put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you and give 3 feet of space because you got a 12-foot wingspan. It's where you're actually in a true bunch and you're up tight with each other. Your feet don't have to be together necessarily, but you do need to be close together and running running plays that way. That's what we're looking for.
I totally agree. Okay.
Yep. That sounds good to me. So, Jacob, I know you jumped on late, but I do want to give just your opportunity, your thoughts. Tell me the best and worst of Nashville.
The best, you know, I'm going to completely, for best and worst, I'm going to completely ignore what Facebook says. I'm going to completely ignore what the people's opinion, because there's, in my mind, it doesn't matter. It's what my opinion is, right? So in my opinion, we had some really good crews together. We had some really good people come willing to work, and we had some folks that were willing to persevere and work through some adversity. We had two lightning delays both Saturday night and Sunday night that put us behind and made everybody stay out there really late, and it could have put a damper on. And could have made things go even worse. But I tip my hat to all the officials that came out. We had 75 that came from all over the country, some outside of the country. Actually, I think it was two outside of the country between Dean and Avery. I tip my cap because they stayed in. They didn't complain. They didn't whine. The large majority didn't complain and whine. But they stuck through. They worked the games. They did the best they could and through everything, you know, made it an overall good tournament. I'd say probably the worst, just being objective, would be we had a lot of newer officials with us this weekend. Folks who haven't worked with us, you know, haven't, you know, understood how we work and how we operate. And they caught on quickly. But there was a lot that they had to overcome themselves and figure out and learn. I was really fortunate with the leaders that we have amongst our officials who were able to step in and be on the right fields in the right places to kind of not necessarily guide these folks through, but give them the right, you know, suggestions and critiques and help them grow and be better. So that way there was a little, you know, a little hill to overcome. It wasn't a total problem. So yeah, overall Nashville was great, man. You know, at the end of the day, all officials stink. We all do a terrible job. You know, director of trash, I couldn't even clean up the trash properly. but no, in all seriousness, man, I think this past weekend went great. I'm super thankful for everyone who came and worked and put in the time and energy and was willing to be out there through everything. And was so flexible to make it such a great weekend. Then, as you can tell, I've lost my voice from this weekend. So
yeah, let me ask you this, Jacob. What's been from your perspective? What's been the best tournament so far this year?
Best tournament so far. That's tough. So Nashville is the only tournament we've had. We haven't had a fist fight.
There you go.
So, and you know, in that, I take that back. In San Antonio, we didn't have a fist fight either. Tampa, we had parents fight. I hate to say it. That's how I gauge these tournaments. Like if people fight or not. I don't know, man. Each tournament kind of speaks for itself. They have different thing levels of adversity. different groups of people. I don't think I've had one official at every tournament that I can think of. You know, we've had different groupings everywhere we've went. So we've started to get to a point where, as USA Flag, we're getting a good group of folks who regionally, you know, when we say, hey, we're going to LA, these are the ones who show up immediately. We say we're going to New York, these are the ones who show up. Take that back real quick. Let me say, Lance has been at every tournament.
There you go.
As the head official, you know, he's been at every tournament. So I misspoke. But you know, everywhere we go, it's a different story. So I don't know that I could say one is the best. You know, it's been different experiences everywhere we went.
Yeah. All right, Pat, best and worst in Nashville.
The best for Nashville. I got a chance to do what I wanted to do and enjoy on my birthday with guys that I was around. Family was with me. That was probably some of the worst, because if I'd have been by myself, I would have been able to do different things as far as, you know, with the tournaments and delays. But worst-wise, I don't even think I had a worse besides the I don't think I had a worse. Everything was good to me, honestly. I mean, I was put on good fields. You know, the players wasn't disrespectful to a certain extent. And, you know, everybody was willing to learn and adapt. And I worked with some guys on my second day that I never worked with, well, besides one with Tasha, but other than that, I mean, I had like brand new guys on my field that I never worked with. So it was good, man. That was just the best thing about it, as far as seeing everybody again, you know, besides the Camel City, but seeing players from other states and that I normally don't get a chance to see. But yeah, that's really been it. That was it for me.
There you go. Dean, how about you? Best and worst?
Well, okay. So, I'm not gonna call someone out that badly. I'm just gonna say that I can't remember, was it Friday? Yeah, it was Friday. How do I go about saying this very nicely, without hurting feelings? We had an official that was on our field. But I swear to God, I was like, it was bad, man. Like, when you don't let the white hat be the white hat, you got an immediate problem right away. Like, when you try and come on the field like fucking Rambo and try take over and shoot, like, and guns blazing, and then start yelling at the refs while making a call, and then turn to the player and start cussing at the, we're going to have problems. And I had aired my concerns this before, but Declan did a hell of a job trying to persevere through it, because that was your field and you commanded it. But that was definitely like the worst for me because that messed up our entire flow on the field. We had a flow, we had a smooth flow, and then whatever happened, and then it just ruined the entire flow. And I mean, directors were called to the field every 5 minutes. Like, I mean, Jacob, you might as well have camped out on that field at that point. Because it was like one problem. Like, no, I'm like, legit. Like, one problem happens, Jacob deals with it, and he goes on his little golf. He goes on his golf cart, and you see him drive away. And then 2 seconds later, Jacob's car comes back around, and I'm like, this ain't happening. Like, just, this is not happening right now. And eventually we got back on track because obviously we went back to our original crew and we got back on track. But that along with the lightning delays kind of put a damper on it. Best of Nashville was obviously working with great officials, new officials, and then also getting out and seeing the party scene, seeing Broadway, danced on a rooftop bar, obviously, to Taylor Swift.
How was partying with
Chun? You were partying with Chun? Oh, how? No, no, I
said,
hey.
How was partying with Chun? You can tell.
So I'm gonna clear out the air. Chun and I were not partying together. I'm gonna save it, brother. I'm not gonna. Like, we were not partying together. I went out with my Boston crew, Drew, Jimmy, and my name Jeff. We went out on, when was it, Thursday night? It was Thursday night because I wasn't planning to go out Thursday night. I got to the hotel. I was exhausted. I'd already been to Broadway. I'd ordered my McDonald's on Uber Eats. I came down to the lobby to pick it up. They had canceled my order. And then I see Drew and Jeff and Jimmy, and I'm like, you know what? We're going to Broadway. Let's go to Broadway. Let's go down to Broadway and let's party it up. Why not? And I'm like, what time will we plan to get home? And like, Drew was like, oh, 1:30. I'm like, perfect. We're going down. So we went down. We partied it up. I had a great time. Bright and early at the field, 8 a.m. the next morning. And I literally got there at 8 a.m. So it was really, really fun. I love Nashville, honestly. And I cannot wait for Tampa. I cannot wait.
It's going to be fun.
All right, Declan, best and worst in Nashville.
So one of the worst things in Nashville is, like Dean said, there's a couple times that I got to figure out how to word this. Some referees
– just say it,
man. Some referees need to actually read the rules because what happens is when – especially someone like me, when I don't work as a crew chief or a white hat a lot, when another official doesn't know the rules and then they're making rulings on something they shouldn't, they're not going and complaining to that official. They're going to the guy that has the white hat on and they're running their mouth to him. So it doesn't help when I have somebody on the field that makes the call on something and I genuinely don't know why he threw the flag on it and they're coming up asking me and I have to tell them, I don't know because I don't know. So that's one thing I will say that I will agree with that Dean said. I'm definitely very glad that I spoke to the people I needed to speak to and my crew got back together and we had no problems from that point on. I'll definitely say that, especially that being the first tournament I've white hat on adults, but I've been a crew chief for adults. But one pro was me being selected to be a crew chief, especially doing the youth, because I had no problems with youth on Sunday, but we don't talk about Sunday.
No, let's talk about Sunday. Let's talk about that 7 years, the kids you threw out.
I said earlier, I had to go out with a bang. Had to leave in Declan fashion, at least 3 ejections, one for each day. One for Friday, one for Saturday, you know, one for Sunday. You know, third time's the charm. It happened. Friday went Friday started off too bad and went too good at the end. Saturday was just too good, so that means, you know, God had to say Sunday's got to be the day. So, unfortunately, had to kick some people out, but that's their problem, and they should learn to be sportsmanlike. Other than that, the bad thing, again, like I said, having a problem with some of the officials, but the other part, the rain delays. Because then what happened is instead of competition being focused on football. Now it's everybody's irritated, and now they're just getting ready to fight each other. We never had a problem with people trying to fight, but then it's grown men thinking, oh, they're big bad, this big bad, that, and they start running their mouths and yada, yada, yada. But we had no problems like that. But that was about it. Nashville was definitely one of the best tournaments I've worked. Tampa will always remain number one, especially given that I was ejection savvy that tournament too. But yeah, I'm ready for Tampa in 2025.
Hey Jacob, one of the craziest things, Jacob, is Declan's growing his wings. Like, he's getting more and more confident. So Tampa this year is gonna be a movie. Like, I can't wait to see how many people he ejects.
So what we're gonna do, and I've actually called CBS on this. I'm not called CBS on this, but they're going to give me a body camera. Okay. So they're actually gonna, I have glasses that have a camera in the center. And what they're gonna do is they're gonna wire me up so that way they see you have regular, and then you just have a Declan cam. And what happens?
No, that's not a good idea. That's not a good idea.
It's not a good idea. That's why it's so great. And what's going to happen is they'll only view in if they see a flag throw. Once a flag's thrown and they see confrontation, golden. USA flag will have, I'm talking, they will be signed, and so many people, it won't even be fun. It will be great.
Hey, what CBS do need to broadcast? Is you and I are doing a 40-yard dash. Like, that's 100%.
They do not need to broadcast that. They will not broadcast that.
But Declan, we are doing it, and we're going to do it on the first day when we're fresh and our legs are still good, our feet are still good. We are setting up a 40-yard dash, and you and I are doing it. Ant and Jacob. Jacob can time it, but we're doing a 40-yard dash. 100%.
Sunday night at the end of the tournament. That's the only time we do races.
I'll do it. Hey, let me get smoked. I'll tell you right now, you're going to get smoked. I will tell you that to the dad. To the grave. You will get smoked.
All right. I love it. Let's do it.
It's Sunday. I don't care if it's Friday when I show up. You're going to get smoked.
So
good. I love it.
I do want to say, you know, Ant's been running with me for a while now. Ant's very well immersed into the pro division. He's very well immersed in just about anything I need him to do. Just wanted to tip my cap to both of you guys, because I did put you guys in a sticky situation on Sunday night, putting you guys on Gauntlet Pro.
I loved it.
It was great. And the thing was, you know, at the end of the day, like, my very first game officiating, and Ant may know these teams, of course, Pat Hopson, I need some validation, was the Queen City Bulls and Stick of Butter. Those are two of the top-ranked five contact teams in the nation at the time. Very first time officiating flag football, and I got absolutely obliterated. So the best thing to do is what you guys are doing. When you guys get thrown in these situations, just treat these games like every other game. So I do want to tip my cap. You guys handled it like pros. When things got a little heated and excited, you guys did the right thing. You got out of there. You did what you needed to do. You made the calls you felt were right. So, again, I just wanted to tip my cap to both of you guys for that.
There we go. I just got to say this, guys. I feel like if we're talking about if we step on the scale, I'm right in between Declan and Dean weight-wise, and I don't know why I'm not being included in this race. I want a part of that. So I don't think that's
fair. Race to deal with.
And you'll beat me, and I can't.
Hey, the more the merrier, and bring it on. Let's go.
There we go.
You know what? You know what? This is what we're doing. Jacob, you're in on the race too. All of us. Mm-hmm. Boom. Four of us.
Absolutely.
100%. Absolutely.
I will decline the motion and the notion to let in the race because he is fast, a lot faster, no offense, than I thought you were. He'll beat me like that. Again, I'm not fast. I get beat by 7-year-olds, for God's sake.
Hey,
so.
Hey, I just want to say,
wrap this up, man.
Right before we go, I just have to say, there was an aired out game, a women's game on the Saturday that I was reffing. I literally hauled my ass from one side all the way down to the other in a 4-man crew, and I had a coach from the team run with me and was like, I see you, big boy. I see the hustle. Gotta appreciate it. You fast, man. I gotta appreciate the hustle. And I'm like, you damn right, bro. That's right. Fat man can run. That's right.
Oh, man. All right. I just want to share my best and worst. Best for me is just definitely the guys on the cruise with me, whether it was Pat or Joe, Tim, Lance, B-Cove, Declan. Guys have my back. It's supporting me, looking out for me, making sure that we kept things in the football field. And to me, that's what is most important. I read the rule book. I study it. I try to be as best as I possibly can at the rules. But most importantly, I just want to keep things about football. And I get that leads me to what the worst is. The worst part of this weekend is I have not been called as many like horrible stuff as I was this past weekend. It was out of control. It was too much. And for the players that do listen to this podcast, I would ask you guys to consider the same thing that I tell my children. Take a second before you open your mouth. Think just for a second before you speak things. Because whether it's an official or a player or someone on the sideline, we are all human beings. And nobody knows what we're going through in that moment. Nobody knows our past experiences. Nobody knows what's going on in our lives. And so if everyone can just take 1 second before they speak and say something really foul to another human being, just take that second, think. And hey, if you got to vocalize a little bit, that's okay. But try to reel it in at some point. Like there's got to be some stop button. I think the worst thing that I hear more than anything is after I've been cussed out and called all kinds of names, later that day, someone will say, oh, come on, man, it's just the adrenaline. I think that's a poor excuse. I think in reality, we all can control our anger and our words. We're all adults. We aren't seven-year-olds. And so I think for the sake of flag football and the future of the sport, we all got to do better. You know, so that's my piece on that. Y'all, I appreciate everything you guys did this last weekend. Jacob, the trash was under control, and I thank you for that. It just really feels like it feels like you've taken on this title and this new role, and you're just handling it, man.
Sigh of relief, to be honest with you. You know, I've been you know working up to this for so long, like. You know, now I can sort bottles and cans and banana peels and yogurt cups and all sorts of stuff. Man, I'm pumped, man. We're gonna have the best trash ever.
Yes. That's great. So hey, y'all, I know Dean finally found us on Instagram, but we are everywhere. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, TikTok, we're on Twitter. We're on Threads. I'm posting stuff on everything I possibly can. On top of that, wherever you listen to podcasts, we are on it. And then if you want to see our ugly mugs for an hour and a half every week, find us on YouTube. But please like, subscribe, follow. And to the players that say they don't want to read the rules, this is how you can hear the rules and you can learn them. Because when something happens in a tournament, we try to bring it up in this podcast so that maybe you can absorb some information. But I appreciate y'all, and I will see y'all next week.